Last week we looked at the parable of the sower and the soul. Jesus was the sower and the soul is the heart of man. The seed was and is the gospel of the kingdom, and the soul was either good or bad. If the soul was bad, it produced no crop. But if the soul was good, it produced a crop between 30 and 100%. In other words, if one believed the message of the kingdom, it would be evident from the way they lived their life. Good soil produces good fruit. I also mentioned last week that a parable either came before or after the direct teaching of Jesus Christ. And the parable usually only has one main meaning. The purpose of the parable we looked at last week was about the kingdom of God. And the parable that we will be looking at this morning is also about the kingdom of God. Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 21. Also he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should become, or that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." The beginning words of verse 21 says, "Also he said to them," which tells us that this parable goes along with the previous parable. And it is this reason that we know that the subject of the parable is about the kingdom of God. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? The first part of this parable is a rhetorical question, and it is answered with another question. The purpose for a lamp was to see, or for seeing your way around the house. That's the purpose for a lamp. You want to see what it is that is in your house. No one would fill a lamp with oil, and that's what their lamp was a little clay jar, would fill their lamp with oil, light it, and then hide the light. That light was necessary in order to see where it was that they were going. No one puts it under their bed. No one hides it under a basket. If Jesus were to have asked them where they would put a lampstand, where would you put it? I mean, no one puts it under a basket. No one puts it under the bed. Where would you put it? What would they say? They would obviously say a lampstand. Why a lampstand? Because a lampstand is put up in an area in which you can see the whole house. It illuminates the whole room. Where would you put a lampstand? If you were to build a house, if I were to build a house, one of the things that everyone does when building a house is strategically put their outlets and also their lights. You find the area in which you want the most light. People are putting lights under their cabinets. Why? Because it's kind of dim there. So they put lights under their cabinets. Just as Jesus was the sower, so is he the light. What Jesus is saying in this parable is that he is the light, and God sent him into the world so that men may see their darkness, their sin, and be saved. Jesus is the light. John 12, 44 through 50. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my word and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has this which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, for the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." One of the things that really concerns me is when people say that we are to witness to others through our lives and They will say things like, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's a verse. And I can give a few of those verses myself that speak of living our lives to the praise of God's glory. But the problem with what they mean is that they don't need to verbally say anything until or unless they are asked the question of why they are so different, or led to do so by God, as if they are waiting for a feeling that God is telling them to witness. If we were to conclude or to consider the verses that I just read in John 12, Jesus said that he came into the world as a light. Did this mean that he came in and did good so that others would be intrigued by his life and ask him why? And the answer is no. Listen again to the verses that I have just read in John 12, verses 44 through 50. And I will emphasize specific words. Jesus is the light. He refers to himself as the light. Now listen. "Then Jesus cried out and said, 'He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak.'" I mean, that's in total contrast to what everybody is saying, or what a lot of people is saying in the United States, in the Church of the United States, and how we are to witness, how we are to let people know about Jesus Christ. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, and come up and ask me why I'm so different so that I can give them the gospel." Jesus was the true light. His life was so much greater than ours. He would make us look ridiculous as far as righteousness and holiness. If anyone was different from the rest of the world, it was Jesus. But Jesus just loaded this verse full of words like "speak" and "spoke" and "said." Philip's question in John 14, 8 through 11, Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." It wasn't that Jesus looked like the Father in order to reveal the Father, because Jesus didn't look like the Father, because the Father is spirit. He doesn't have a physical appearance. Jesus revealed the Father because he spoke of the Father. Listen to Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." I am not saying that we shouldn't worry about our testimony. I'm not saying that we shouldn't consider the way that we live. A matter of fact, if we aren't living for Christ, keep the tongue silent. Don't say anything. We need to have that balance. We need to let other people see that what we believe is true in our life. And we have seen in the past parable, good soil produces good fruit. The expectation of a true believer is to live his life to the praise of God's glory. There's no question about it. It will be evident in a person's life if they are truly saved, they will reflect Christ. My concern is that those who hold to witnessing to others by their lifestyle are only neglecting the primary passages dealing with witnessing or the Great Commission. We could sit there and look at these passages that really aren't in the context of witnessing, but we can look at these passages that tell us to live our life to the praise of God's glory, to let our light so shine before men, and neglect all the verses that tell us to proclaim, to herald the news of Jesus Christ. Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1:38, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. Jesus was the light that came into the world to make known the gospel of the kingdom, and he didn't do this by his good works, but by his good words. He did not do this by his good works, but by his good words. Not waiting for the opportunity, but created an opportunity. He didn't wait for a feeling to come over him, for he knew why he was sent into the world. Verse 22, for there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. One thing that is true about light is it reveals everything and its path. Light will make everything seen or everything known. So often the Bible speaks of darkness as being evil, and when evil people do what they do. At nighttime is when all the villains come out. John 1:4-11, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. John 3:18-20. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may be done in God. What was John's conclusion? John's conclusion was that man loved darkness rather than light. When Jesus taught and preached, he didn't shy away from telling the truth. He didn't waver for the sake of people's feelings, and this is true of the apostles as well. He wasn't concerned with political correctness. Will I be found offensive if I call out on someone's sin, or to name something that is prominent in our society? Take a look at the Sermon on the Mount sometime, Matthew 5-7, and see how detailed Jesus gets concerning sin and righteousness. He talks about sin. He talks about how we are to live, and he's very specific with the words that he uses. It was the words of our Lord that convicted the world of sin. Look, if you will, at verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said this in the other parable as well, and I said that this didn't mean that he wanted some to understand and others not to. What Jesus is saying is, if you understand what I am saying, then put it to practice. Put into practice what I am saying, what I am teaching. Again, Jesus' main point to the parable is the kingdom of God. He was the sower, and their hearts were the soil. Jesus is the light and is revealing everything to everyone about sin and righteousness. Jesus is the light that reveals the hearts of men. There are those that continuously chase after people to be saved, and I don't see this in Scripture either. Jesus and none of the apostles ever chased after anyone to beg them to be saved. If you are chasing after anyone to be saved, you just do not have the right understanding of salvation. 1 Corinthians 3:5-6, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. John 16:8-11, and when he has come, he will convict the world, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, and of sin, because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In other words, it is the work of God that brings a person to salvation. We are the instruments in which God uses to make known his gospel, but it is the work of God that convicts the heart of sin. If we are chasing people to get them to get saved, then what we are saying is that we are the influence in which they get saved. And that is not true. It is not true. Matthew 10:14-15. And whoever will not receive you, this is speaking of Jesus sending out his disciples, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Why? Because Sodom and Gomorrah did not have the message preached to them of salvation through Jesus Christ. These are the last days. We have the fulfillment of the promised Messiah has come. And the total message is made. And that is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have it. These people are getting people coming to their house. They're telling them about Jesus, how to get saved. Did they reject the message? Shake your sandals off. When they stand before God, their judgment's going to be a lot more, is going to be a lot worse than that of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you remember Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sodomites, homosexuals, the city was loaded with them, violence. And God said that the judgment on those who reject the Son will be worse than those who lived in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I know I have mentioned a few times on the perspective of people with Jesus and the fact that some saw him as a menace, some as a magician, and some as master. But let me say this. If you believe Jesus is a menace, you will not become one of his disciples. If you believe that Jesus is a magician, you will not become one of his disciples. But if you believe that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, that he is master, it is then that we will become one of his disciples. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who understands what I am saying, live it out. Live it out. Look, if you will, at verses 24 and 25. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. I said last week concerning the parables that it wasn't that Jesus didn't want people to understand by quoting Isaiah chapter or verse 12. And this is what verse 12 says, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven. And I quoted the verse, God does not take pleasure in the perishing of the wicked. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God, this isn't a contradiction. God loves people so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. It's not that he doesn't want them to understand the truths that are spoken in the parable. What Jesus is saying here is, if you pay close attention and want to learn, you will learn, and if you don't, you won't. If you want to understand the truths of the scriptures, if you want to understand the parables, if you want to understand the teachings of God, you will understand because you will seek to know them. But if you don't, you won't. There are a lot of people who think they have it all figured out about the kingdom of God. You ever talk to those people? They've watched a lot of TV, maybe some secular shows. Maybe they've even gotten to their friends at the workplace or wherever else. And they start talking about the very little they have about the knowledge. And I remember hearing, and one time I determined that I would never believe the Bible again, because he said something, and I forgot exactly what it was, but it was with Noah and everything else. And what he did was he switched the dates, the people. And I took it, and I said, wow, if that's true, then it's not true. But they sit there and they talk and they talk and they talk. And it doesn't take long, if you know the scriptures, it doesn't take long to know that they don't know what they're talking about. This is also true of those who attend good churches. They go to a good church, they listen to sermons, and they go to Sunday school, they go to Bible studies, only to watch another preacher or teacher on television who is a heretic, and they can't tell the difference. They do not have discernment to see that what they are teaching is false doctrine. In this context, Jesus is saying that those listening to the parable will learn the meaning, if they want to, about the kingdom of God. And if they are here for any other reason, if they are here for Jesus to be a magician, they aren't going to learn because their focus is in the wrong place. Seek those things above and not on the things of earth. Matter of fact, what you do know will be lost. That which was given will be taken. What you do have will be taken away. In other words, if you think that you're living for Christ, if you think that you're doing what it is that God wants you to do, but you are doing it for the wrong reason, if you are living your life with the wrong intentions, if you do not understand what it is that God is saying, He's not going to give you more, you are going to lose. You know, you can lift weights and get all big and pumped up and everything else. And you can get that masculine shape. Just look up here and you'll see what it looks like. And you get that big masculine shape and those big muscles and those bulging biceps and everything else. But here's what's interesting. You can get to your goal and you can stop. And when you stop, it doesn't stay. Have you ever seen Arnold? It just doesn't stay. You lose it. You can go on in the Lord. But if you do not keep that active, if you do not continue to read your Bible, if you do not continue to memorize Scripture, if you do not put it into practice, if you don't tell people, you know how you're going to get good at witnessing? Telling people. You want to learn how to share the gospel? Tell people. And then when you spent years telling people, stop telling people. And watch how difficult. What you have, you will lose. You will lose. Jesus was sent by the Father to preach the kingdom, and now we are to preach the kingdom as well. You know, so many times I have quoted Matthew 28, 19, and 20. But really, what Jesus is saying there starts in verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. As a result of the authority that God gave Jesus, go therefore. And make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that it is our job, that it is our responsibility? He came to send us into the world. It is our responsibility now to be that light. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. We are given the ministry of reconciliation. We are given the ministry to restore the relationship between a holy God and a sinful man. It is our job to be that light. And again, that light doesn't mean to live a good life so that people will ask us why we live a life. That light, according to Jesus Christ, was to make known the mystery of the gospel, was to make known, to proclaim, to herald out loud the gospel of the kingdom, to speak what it is that the Father has told him to speak. 2 Corinthians 4:1-6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, now listen to this. This is those who have ears to hear, let them hear. Those But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those who have no interest in the spiritual things, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, those who the devil came and snatched away from the soil. Remember? Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God who has shined his light into our hearts that we are to reflect that light on others. The light doesn't originate with us. It just reflects through us. You know, the definition of a Christian is little Christs. It's not that they looked like him, but that they acted like him. They are little Christs. Jesus was and is the light of the world. We need to be the light of the world, so let your light shine for Jesus. Shine the light. We need to shine the light. Let's pray.